Well, if you do have a Bible in front of you, please do turn to Mark chapter 4. That's where we'll be today. Mark chapter 4. Well, Lydia and I moved into our first house a while ago, about 4 years ago. One of the things we wanted to sort out in this house was the garden. It was awful. It was a real wreck. And there were weeds everywhere. There was one patch of grass near the front of the house that was just basically dirt with a few bits of grass sticking out of it. And my wonderful wife, Lydia, she's a great gardener, and she mowed the grass, she put fertilizer on it, she put seed all over it, she tended to it like a baby, really. And yet one patch of grass right near the house, it just never grew anything, just a few blades of grass, it was just mud. And you see, grass is really resilient, but even grass needs light to grow. This evening, we're going to look at something far more important than grass. We're going to be looking at faith, real faith, and what it needs to grow. Real faith only grows in open hearts. If you're taking notes, today's passage is about the faith of the fruitful few, the faith of the fruitful few. I like alliteration. Well, the parable of the sower is near the beginning of a larger section of Mark's gospel. And this larger section, well, it's all about God's kingdom and what it looks like to believe that Jesus is the king of that kingdom. If you'll turn just back a page to Mark chapter 3, and I'll scan briefly with you now through this larger section, if you want to follow with me. The section begins at Mark chapter 3, verse 13. Jesus commissions 12 heralds of his kingdom. That's what they are. And he sends them out. And then we get some religious leaders and even his own family. Well, they don't believe he is the king of this kingdom. And then starting in chapter 4, Jesus tells four parables to describe what God's kingdom looks like. And therefore, what believing in the King Jesus looks like, since his kingdom is made up of people who believe in him. Those with real faith in Jesus, well, they welcome his word with open hearts. They share his word. They grow mysteriously. And their growth begins humbly, but ends in glory. Four parables about believing Jesus is the king. And next, starting at the end of chapter 4, there are four miracles that urge us to believe that Jesus is the king of this kingdom. Come to verse 40 there. Chapter 4, after calming the storm, Jesus says, do you still have no faith? In chapter 5, verse 20, after the demon-possessed man is healed, he clearly believes that Jesus is the king of this kingdom. In verse 34, Jesus says to the woman suffering from bleeding, your faith has healed you. And in verse 36, he says to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. Four miracles that urge us to believe that Jesus is the king. And then the section ends with Mark 6:13 as Jesus recommissions the 12 heralds of his kingdom, while his hometown won't believe that he is the king of the kingdom. So do you see the larger section that we're in this morning is all about God's kingdom and what it looks like to believe that Jesus is the king of that kingdom. Well, in Mark 4, verse 1, we have come to the first of the four parables. It's incredible. I'm sure many of you are very familiar with this parable. I'm hoping you are. Someone sows seed onto four types of soil, and he gets a range of results. And this is about how God's kingdom comes. In verse 13, Jesus says that there's a principle laid out here that God's people must understand. And if we don't, we won't understand any of the parables. So it's really important that we do truly understand what he's talking about here, isn't it? We need to understand this principle. Well, amazingly, in verse 14, he explains. The seed represents the word, the message about the kingdom. And in verse 15, he explains that the four different soils or the scenarios, they represent different types of people. different conditions of people's hearts as they hear the word. Well, friends, this is how the kingdom of God works. This is shocking. The kingdom of God doesn't come as you might expect. It's not by force. It's not a military conquest like Alexander the Great, just sweeping across the known world in a few years. I think he was in his 20s. God's kingdom grows in a different way. It grows gradually. And as the few people with open hearts hear God's word and demonstrate real faith into fruitfulness, God's kingdom comes. That's the principle that you need to understand, but let me just put it in a few words here. This is the principle. Real faith only grows in open hearts. Real faith only grows in open hearts. Let's just unpack this as we look at each of the four types of heart that Jesus describes. We'll see three examples of hearts that are not open, and one example of a heart that is open. So, firstly, example one, hard hearts. Hard hearts, the seed on the path. Some people, they hear the gospel, and it's like a seed falling on a hard path. Nothing happens. Come to verse 15 with me. Jesus explains, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. When people with hard hearts hear the gospel, nothing goes in. Nothing. The Bible shows us what hard hearts are. Well, even in Mark, in his gospel, chapter 3, we're shown that some religious leaders, well, they're waiting to catch Jesus out, healing on the Sabbath. In chapter 3, verse 5, we're told that Jesus was deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, or their hard hearts. Their persistence in hypocrisy had made their hearts hard. And Romans 1 teaches us exactly the same thing. When people habitually suppress God's truth and give themselves over to wickedness, their hearts become hard, unable to accept his saving word. Maybe it surprised you in Mark 4, verse 12 there, where Jesus says that he speaks in parables so that some people won't understand, so that some people won't be saved. Did you see that? Well, Jesus is only speaking in a way that means that those who have hardened their own hearts won't understand. He's confirming their own choice. And let me give you just a quick example here. If someone comes into your room in the middle of the night and you're asleep and they turn the light on, what do? You shield your eyes from the light, don't you? It repels you. You've become used to the dark, and so light repels you. It's the same with those who come to love the darkness of sin. When the bright light of God's word shines on them, it makes them shield their eyes from any illumination it might give. Well, here's what the seed on the path teaches us. Hard hearts cannot accept the saving word of God. People with hard hearts ignore whatever revelation about God that they've been given. They stubbornly rebel against God and his ways. And the root cause is that they've grown to love sin. They think that God's way is bad and their way is good. And this is all of us in our natural state, friends. This is all of us naturally. Unless God intervenes miraculously, we stay like this. Some people with hard hearts, they hear the gospel and they just bat it away. Nope, not interested. You've come across people like that, right? It's not always aggressive, though. Sometimes they just don't care whether it's true or not. Even if it could be proved beyond doubt that Jesus is the King of the universe and so we must repent and believe in him, they just love their sinful life too much. They're not interested in leaving that behind. Some people with hard hearts even join great reformed evangelical churches. Maybe because they feel welcomed. They get free meals. People are interested in them. But they just zone out as soon as the word of God is preached. Maybe you've experienced some of this on a mission or a camp that you've come back from over the summer. How can we respond to this? Well, firstly, Christian, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. As you pray for your friends and your family and your colleagues and even your enemies, pray that God would soften their hearts. He's the only one who can do that. The disciples are a really encouraging example of hard hearts being softened by the Lord. You know, in Mark chapter 6 and in chapter 8, the disciples see Jesus do some amazing miracles, and he responds by saying, "Why don't you understand this? Are your hearts hard?" His own disciples. And yet we know what happens in the end, don't we? Be encouraged. Be encouraged that the Lord can and does soften hard hearts in his perfect timing. Don't lose heart. Keep praying. And Christian, guard the condition of your heart, because saving faith, real faith, will not grow in hard hearts. Ephesians 4 urges us to no longer live like those with callous and hard hearts. Those people give themselves over to sin more and more. Don't go back, Christian. Don't keep your heart soft. And there's a serious danger here, isn't there? If you habitually, willingly give yourself over to a little bit of pornography or deceit or pride or gossip, it will grow and grow. And you will become less and less bothered by sin. And your heart will become harder and harder. And in the end, you'll become hardened to the very salvation of God. Christian, regularly examine your heart. Ask questions like this. Is there any open door for sin in my life? Like perhaps unmonitored internet access? Am I living as I would if I knew this would be the last hour on earth before the throne of God? Well, we've seen what hard hearts look like. The seed on the path. Next, we'll look at shallow hearts, the seed on rocky ground. Shallow hearts, the seed on rocky ground. Some people, well, they hear the gospel and it's like the seed falling on rocky ground. There's a little bit of soil there, and so it grows. Something happens. But when it's tested, it comes to nothing. Come to verse 16 with me. Jesus explains. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. People with shallow hearts immediately receive the gospel with joy, but then they immediately fall away when persecution or trouble comes because of it. Why? They only ever believed superficially. They're not committed. They never let the roots of the gospel grow deep inside. They might respond with joy for a while even, but when trouble or persecution comes, they think to themselves, well, following Christ is just not worth all of this aggro. And they leave. Friends, 2 Timothy 3 tells us this. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And as 1 Peter 1 says that you're studying at the moment, it's great. 1 Peter 1 tells us that trials are one of the ways that God tests the genuineness of our faith. Only those with genuine, real faith persevere to the end, because only real faith fully grasps the glory and the majesty of the gospel message, which is an anchor for our souls through times of tribulation. God's word takes deep root and stabilizes and nourishes only those with real faith. Here's what the seed on the rocky ground teaches us. Shallow hearts cannot accept the saving word of God. We see shallow hearts all the time, don't we? We see shallow hearts when it comes to marriage commitment in this country. Sadly, so many people today, they start off in marriage full of joy with rose-tinted glasses. Not before long, they end up getting divorced, because their expectation was that the other person would just make them happy all the time. As soon as things become difficult for them, they just leave. Hopefully you understand the concept of shallow hearts here, but look at verse 17 there. What might it look like for trouble or persecution to come because of the word in our context? Well, it could look like someone telling their colleagues at work that they've become a Christian, and then quickly realizing that people do not like that. They start to experience friction and tension in the office. They don't get invited to things that they were invited to before. And the cost of being a Christian, well, it starts to rise and rise. It just doesn't seem worth following Jesus for this. And so they go back to their old life. It could look like someone who really seemed to grasp the gospel. And then a family member tells them that if they'll never speak to them again if they keep going to church. I'm not going to speak to you again if you continue to follow Jesus. The price becomes too high. I'm not going to lose a family member over this. So they leave. Of course, the price is never really too high, is it? Those who accept the gospel fully understand that nothing compares to the weight of glory being prepared for us in Christ. Christian, don't lose heart. When people leave the faith quickly, it can be devastating to those around them. Don't lose heart. This is what Jesus taught us to expect, and he understands it intimately. Pray for repentance and a change of heart, knowing that only God can change shallow hearts. And Christian, guard the condition of your heart, because saving faith, real faith, will not grow in shallow hearts. If you're facing persecution because of the gospel right now, I pray that your faith would not fail and that you would be delivered from it, friend. There are lots of other ways, though, that the gospel is costly, aren't there? So don't think that this isn't for you if you're not facing persecution at the moment. Salvation is a free gift. It's wonderful. It's by grace, through faith. But if you think that dying to your old self is a walk in the park, you're not doing it right. The Christian life is a living sacrifice. King Jesus wants all of your life, all of it, not just a few hours on a Sunday. And so, Christian, is there any trouble that you know would come if you truly follow Jesus as Lord with all of your heart? Is there any tribulation or trial that you're just avoiding by disobeying Jesus a little bit in one area? It's a question we all need to be asking ourselves regularly, isn't it? We don't like pain, do we? No one likes pain. We don't like trouble. And that's why we need the help of the Holy Spirit and his word to sanctify us. We need our family to encourage us. Can I encourage you to continually surrender all of your life to Christ as your King? And trust him at his word when he says this: whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Well, we've seen what hard and shallow hearts look like. And next we'll see divided hearts, the seed among the thorns. Divided hearts, the seed among the thorns. Some people hear the gospel and it's like the seed falling among thorns. Something really promising happens. But again, it comes to nothing in the end. Come to verse 18 with me. Jesus explains. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, they hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and they choke the word, making it unfruitful. When people with divided hearts hear the gospel, it doesn't become the uncontested central message of their lives. The message of the gospel does sink in, but other competing messages are kept in their heart. Do you see that in verse 7 when we read it? As the message of the gospel grows in a divided heart, a load of competing messages also grow alongside. Messages already in the heart that weren't rejected and were allowed to grow. Messages like this: the things in this world might be as valuable as God's kingdom. And these are allowed space to grow in the heart. Eventually, they choke the message of the gospel out completely. One time when Jesus had huge crowds following him, he turned to them and he said this: if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. If you want to be my disciple, you've got to love me so much that it looks like you hate your own family by comparison. Wow. Wow. Here's what the seed sown among thorns teaches us. Divided hearts cannot accept the saving word of God. Maybe you know someone from school or university who was once on fire for the Lord, and yet years later, in a frenzy of work and a busy family life, they just shift their focus. The things which matter to them just gradually change until they're sadly no longer walking with the Lord. Maybe you know someone who moved away and they settled somewhere where they didn't find a Christian spouse, although they really wanted to be married. Singleness is tough. And gradually the desire to not be single overwhelmed them. And so they dated a nice non-Christian, hoping he or she would become a Christian too. But it never happened. And now they're married. And they keep any Christian friends at arm's length. Maybe you know someone who once professed faith in Christ with real joy. And yet over time, sadly, they became consumed by their career. Maybe the lure of expensive holidays and a bigger house. Money became their master. The thing that claimed to satisfy every desire of their lives. And so they gradually pulled away from Christian things and then walked away from Christ. See, the deceitfulness of wealth and the worries and cares of this world are allowed to compete with the gospel in someone's heart. And then they choke out the gospel. They'll become the most precious thing if they're allowed to grow. They'll displace Jesus as their Lord and King. And this is what a divided heart is, friends. But Christian, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. When you see brothers and sisters starting to allow the love of this world grow in their heart, pray for them. We need daily encouragement to keep running the race and not lose focus. God has brought together his people as a family, and he wants us to support each other as we are being built up into Christ. We need church family. Also, be encouraged by Jesus that this is one of the responses that we should expect. It's what Jesus witnessed up close during his earthly ministry. He knows how it feels. Be encouraged. And Christian, guard the condition of your heart, because saving faith, real faith, will not grow in divided hearts. This is one of the reasons it's so important to have close Christian friends who can be brutally honest with us and open with us. It's often far easier for others to see when your heart is becoming divided than for you to see it yourself. If you've ever been out blackberry picking, you'll have noticed that brambles are the most ferocious plant. If bramble bushes push their way into your garden, even just one little stem, you've got to be vigilant. They just take over the whole garden. Brambles grow at breakneck speed. It is stunning, actually. And they just choke out everything around them. You've got to chop it off quickly if you see it. Well, that's how competing desires work in our hearts. They choke out the gospel if we're not vigilant. Friends, is there anything in your life that you love almost as much or more than Christ? Are there any challenges? Is the gospel uncontested in your heart? Pray that God would give you and maintain in you an undivided heart. You could even pray the words of Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. We can pray that. Well, we've seen what hard and shallow and divided hearts look like. Finally, Jesus finishes with open hearts, the seed on good soil. We wanted to get here, didn't we? Open hearts, the seed on good soil. Some people hear the gospel and it's like the seed falling on good soil. Something miraculous happens, and in the end it produces a mass of fruit. Come to verse 20 with me. Jesus explains, others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. When people with open hearts hear the gospel, it sinks in. It establishes deep roots, and it's the uncontested center of their lives. When these people hear the gospel, the kingdom of God breaks through. They develop great love for God and neighbor as they share the gospel. They're incredibly fruitful. Some are less fruitful, but even the least fruitful are 30 times. Here's what the seed on the good soil teaches us. Open hearts accept the saving word of God. I'm reminded of a friend of mine who became a Christian a few years back. When his parents found out about it, they're Catholics, they literally disowned him. They cut him off completely and told the rest of his family never to be in contact with him. They didn't even come to his wedding. So sad. But you know, this friend of mine has an open heart. He accepts the word and so echoes Paul's words in Philippians chapter 3. Listen to this. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Is that you? Is that you? Well, in our parable, Jesus has been showing us that there are lots of reasons that people reject the gospel. But as the gospel is shared, Jesus shows us that there will be some who do accept the gospel. We should expect rejection from many, just like Jesus experienced. But we should also expect reception. We should expect rejection and reception. Mark gives us an example of this right here in verse 10 with me. Jesus has come to verse 10 with me, sorry. Jesus has spent the day teaching parables, and after the huge crowd leaves without seeking the meaning of the parables, did you see that? The 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. See, there are some who stay behind, people with open hearts, and they humbly ask the king to help them to receive the word of the kingdom. And the king gives generously to open hearts. He always does. As we've listened to Jesus explain the different types of hearts that people have, perhaps it has been difficult for you to listen to. You might be thinking, well, sometimes my heart feels shallow and divided and hard. Do I have real faith? Well, if that's you, can I encourage you that that is a good question to be asking for a Christian? Not to be paranoid or worried about, but it's good to have a healthy concern about your heart. See, normal Christian life involves fighting to keep open hearts, to fight off becoming hardened and shallow and divided. It's normal to be concerned about these things. And in fact, the concern shows that you have an open heart. The concern shows you have an open heart. Only open hearts are concerned to remain open. Romans 7 is an example of the normal Christian life, struggling with sin. That might be helpful for you to have a read later on. Christian, don't lose heart. Those with real faith accept the word about the King. Be encouraged, Christian, that he will hold you fast. And you will ultimately produce fruit in his kingdom. As you share the gospel with others, it can be really discouraging to have regular rejection. But remember that nobody ever preached like Christ. And no one ever will. And yet he had mixed responses when he gave the message. We should expect rejection. But we should also expect some seed to be successful. Take comfort from the words of the Lord in Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Pray for those you know who don't know Christ. Pray for soft and open hearts and for the word to take deep and uncontested hold in their lives. And trust that God's word will do exactly what he sends it out to do. And Christian, as I've said, the whole way through, guard the condition of your heart. Because saving faith, real faith, will only grow in open hearts. Stay close to Christ. Keep your heart open. Fight sin. Keep gaining a greater vision of the incomparable riches that are to be found in Christ. Hold fast to him. He will hold you fast. Jesus says, in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, we've seen what hard and shallow and divided and open hearts look like. We've seen what real faith looks like in the kingdom of God, what believing in the King, Jesus, really looks like. And as we share the gospel, we can remember that there are lots of reasons that people don't believe, and we shouldn't lose heart, but keep on sharing God's word. We're to expect rejection, knowing that it's only the Lord who opens hearts. And as we live the normal Christian life, we remember that he will hold us fast and support us as we fight to guard our hearts and keep them open. Because real faith, it grows only in open hearts.